This episode is brought to you by the law offices of Ricardo Briones. Have you ever been arrested? Are you under a criminal investigation? Or are you about to be sentenced? Do you need a divorce? Are you dealing with situations in your divorce like marital properties, child custody, child support? The law offices of Ricardo Briones can help you. Ricardo Briones is a criminal defense and family law attorney. Some of these situations can be very costly, and fortunately, this office will work with you on payments. Just visit them at www.rbrioneslaw.com. That's spelled www.rbrioneslaw.com. That's rbrioneslaw.com. Y si habla español. Cubule, and welcome back to Chica Next versus Aliens podcast here. Podcasting live from San Antonio, Texas. It has been a rough few months. Very, very busy. Gigging a lot, working a lot. But I am very grateful for everybody who has supported this podcast. We now have about over 1,000 listeners, and so muchas gracias, Tlazo Kamati. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you for the folks that have subscribed, and thank you for the folks that have recommended me to other people. It's been happening, y'all. The podcast, as you know, I had merch. And this episode is dedicated to the Paranormal Fest and also the Curious Twins. I dedicated some money to getting some merch and really trying to see if I can sell some. And so we set up at the Paranormal Fest this month, September, to get this rolling. And it was nice. I really enjoyed the conversations. I met some wonderful people. A few mediums and people who had telepathic or empathic abilities, and then just to be able to share the stories and conversations, meeting new people who might have things that they want to tell me and stories they want to share. I really meant to set up a booth that we can like record that stuff, but my technological abilities are not at full capacity yet, so we'll work on that, y'all. But yes, so far so good. And we had an amazing interview with Fred Garza Guzman and Steven Garza Guzman from the Curious Twins Ghost Tours, which was super, super amazing. And let me just tell y'all, so I got to go there the Thursday before Paranormal Fest. So Paranormal Fest was on a Saturday. So I got there on Thursday. They were holding a small investigation and just ghost tour. So the ghost tour started at 8. I got there at 8:30, 8:45 maybe. I just got out of work. So when I got there, they were already moved on. So I parked, got to the house, walked into the house, and instantly, as I walked in from the east end, I can hear footsteps coming down the stairs. It scared me, so I looked up the stairs and kind of like, shrugged my shoulders and kind of moved back a little bit, and then was like, okay, cool, whatever. So I walked into the house, and it was like empty. And so I was like, okay, let me check if anybody's here. So I'm like, hello. Of course, nobody answers. So I go outside and kind of do like a louder, like, hello. Nothing. I don't hear nothing. So I tried to get a hold of Fred through like Facebook Messenger, because that's how we've been connecting, and nothing. And of course, he's busy. He's on a tour. And so after about 20 minutes and some like creaky wooden floors and thinking I hear some voices, I decide to, I'm gonna leave. And as I walk outside, here comes the tour. They're walking up, and I what is that? Okay, cool. Well, let me just join them. And so Fred says, hey, hello, how you doing? So then we shake hands, and then he said, come on, join the tour. So we like end up going throughout the rest of the tour. So after the tour, we go on into an investigation. And as we're in the investigation, the tour goes on. And then after the tour, we go on an hour investigation. So I decided to kind of just go on my own. Everybody else goes on pairs. It was mostly white folks, so I was kind of like, meh. And so I go on my own, walk into the first room on the left-hand side. It's one of the young girls' rooms. And my meter, it was an EMF meter that Fred and Steven offered us. It just starts going off. The temperature tripping, the EMF reader's tripping. And it's like beep 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 beep, and I'm just like, oh shit. And so I get closer to like the inner side of the room, and all I hear is the sink turns on its own, and I'm just like, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. So that was the first instance. So I decide to go into the rest of the house, start checking things out. Nothing's happening. And then we have the miratorium. The miratorium was like a room, a closet with two mirrors facing each other and a small couch that lets you sit and look into the mirrors that are facing each other. And it's like this like mirror like hallway, right? It's dark, it's quiet. This is the room where I guess whoever lived in the house tried to contact spirits and be a part of a spiritual world and listen to prophecy and all that kind of stuff, spiritual guidance and all that kind of stuff. So I just had to sit in there. I'm drinking a bottle of water that Fred and Steven offered me. It's already halfway done. I'm sitting in there, and I have my flashlight on. I'm looking into the mirrors, and I don't see anything. So then I said, you know what? I'm going to turn off my flashlight. Turn off my flashlight. Sit in silence for like 30 seconds. And then my water bottle just like crushes on its own, and I freak the hell out. The hairs on the back of my neck, my whole body just jumped. And I swear to God, I got so scared. I was like, just freaked out. I got up and got the hell out of there. And I walked out to the middle room. People started to kind of gather up. And we had already had about an hour of investigation. I collected some pretty good videos and pictures, but didn't really catch anything besides the two experiences that I had without any video or without any pictures. It was pretty amazing. So this was all at the Victorian Black Swan 2 days before Paranormal Fest. So after the paranormal, after this investigation, me, Fred, and Steven sat down together and had a conversation. And yeah, and so this is the interview that we had. I'm going to guide you guys through the way of this interview, because we had a pretty good conversation, and I just wanted to kind of give context to each time we conversated about something important. So this first piece of the conversation is about who are the Curious Twins and what's their purpose. Check it out.
Yeah, so we're called the Curious Twins.
Yeah.
And we're not twins. we're partners, we're romantic partners. Our moms, both his mom and my mom, were twins. So we actually named it after our moms.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So it all came from that.
The icon that you use is something off of the Shining, or?
So no, we have always just like been impressed with the imagery of twins, and it almost being kind of like they have their own language, they have their own kind of bond, and we thought that that was just really interesting. And so while it looks like The Shining from our logo, it's not.
And when we were like thinking about names, we were thinking something that isn't like obviously scary, and we thought, you know, curiosity is something that everybody has, and we don't want to make a ghost tour company that is focused on trying to scare people and trying to be spooky. what we're trying to do is intrigue people with history, with science, with you know, the spirituality of San Antonio. And so what we really wanted to do was use curiosity as that draw for people.
That's awesome. So in this next segment, I just kind of talked to Fred a little bit about the connection that we have when in my family. So I know his tío and tía, José and Elga Garza, connected through the ceremonia de danza. And so we kind of expand a little bit on that. And that was kind of a fun little connection to know that, because that's a childhood connection. We spent a lot of time at his the house in Brownsville and the house in Corpus Christi and Casa de Colores, and we used to hang out together all the time. Edgar, Jose, my mom, my dad, and Cuauhtemoc and Andrea, pretty regularly. So, shout out to y'all. Miss y'all. Love y'all. Although we're still very connected, we haven't seen each other in a long time, but we're still doing danza. So yeah, so here's our small conversation about our connection with the Garzas. It's Jose and
my tío.
And so when I was first about in the early 90s, my parents decided to join the ceremonia de danza Mexica Conchero with the grupo Xinashli. And they were first introduced to that whole space by Jose and Elga.
Yeah.
And then so then I realized that we are connected through that way. And Cuauhtemoc and Andrea, we grew up together. We were very tight.
I wonder if you ever came to my grandparents' house, because they traveled with people all the time. And so they lived in Corpus. I wonder if you ever came to
So one
you
of the
probably were at my childhood house at some point.
it's possible because and it's funny because like I have so me and my wife have a picture that we hold dear to us. Mm. And it's a picture of us. We were doing danza at a protest that was the, I think, 500 years since Columbus. Mm. And my wife was there dancing as a 13-year-old, and I was there like as a 10-year-old, and I was sitting on the sidelines just watching because I didn't do dance at that point. My wife was in the group, but Elga was there, Jose was there, my mom, my dad was there, a bunch of members of Grupo Xinashli, and so was Andres Segura, and we were all there, and so was Lucha's mom, Lucha's dad, and so like all the community was there.
Yeah.
And we were in, I think it was Corpus, and we were there in Corpus.
Yeah, it was for, like, there was a Columbus festival that y'all did it for, I remember.
And we did danza and protest.
Yeah, because it was, like, recognizing a horrible person.
And so anyway, so that's, I just kind of feel like there was a connection there. That's the connection, I think, between us, and that's kind of crazy.
That's really cool.
Yeah. This is really difficult for me to fully explain as a cis hetero male, but this is the conversation that we had about Steven and Fred being a ghost investigation / ghost tour in San Antonio or even in Texas as LGBTQ, not only as the tour and the investigation, but also as a very well working business, a very successful business. And you know, they had a very amazing perspective to share with me. I approached him with intentionally wanting to know more about how they survived as LGBTQ, but they didn't even seem to really mention the idea of surviving. They seemed to mention the idea of them just being successful, which I thought was awesome. And I couldn't help but want to congratulate them for the work that they've done. The Paranormal Festival had over 600 tickets bought and over 35 to 40 folks as vendors, including food, paranormal investigators, and merchandise sell. And so it was a very successful event, but I really love the idea that they are a successful LGBTQ business in San Antonio, especially around the paranormal. Here's a little conversation that we had about that.
I mean, I don't know anything different.
I
don't know anything different. I think it's normal for us just to be ourselves, and we're, you know, doing something that we love together, which is awesome. But anything, I mean...
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, as members of several intersections of marginalized communities, we're brown, we're queer, we understand the suppression of certain communities' voices and narratives. Mm-hmm. And so when we started this company, you know, it started with an interest. You know, what brought us together as a couple was our interest in the paranormal and weird and spooky stuff. Yeah. We did ghost tours wherever we wanted, and whenever we traveled, we would try and do ghost tours and investigations. We would go on romantic walks in cemeteries. We were a weird couple, paranormal power couple. That's what we were. And when we did ghost tours in San Antonio, we recognized that there was a very Anglo perspective that was being shared with and there was very little mention of our indigenous histories, and if those were mentioned, they were really, really bad.
Yeah, they were very biased.
They're very biased, and it was hard for us to hear those things.
Yeah.
And so when we started the company, we thought we want to do something different. We want to bring some of these marginalized voices to the forefront. We want to share with these tourists who are coming to San Antonio to see and recognize the glorified image of the heroes of the Alamo. We want to share with them that indigenous people died there, they lived there, they worshiped there. And it's not just about our Texas history, it's about the 10,000 plus years of indigenous history as well.
Yeah.
And that's something that, as queer people, it's important to us to share those marginalized voices.
Yeah, I think to add to that, one of my favorite books growing up, you know, was Dosha Williams. She was a local, or she is, I think she's still alive, but she was a historian here in San Antonio, but she had several books all on haunts in the city. So maybe you've heard of When Darkness Falls. It's a really popular, you know, book all about the ghosts of San Antonio. And it was literally like this very, like everything that had happened in the city that could have related to the paranormal was very, very much like everything. But it was told through a perspective that was not inclusive and was very, very Anglo. And so one of our goals was to rewrite Dosha Williams' history. I mean, she greatly inspired me to be interested in this and to want to do research and want to, like, have a voice. But I think what inspired me the most about Dosha's stories was that they were only told through one lens.
So here's a quick conversation that we had about our connection to the land. As an indigenous people and as LGBTQ two-spirited folks, there is a deeper connection to the land that we feel like we have. And so this is we were just kind of going on about what that was. I think it was mostly me talking a lot. But I really wanted to, like, share my feelings. I also just want to give you guys the opportunity to really go back and forth in this conversation, because I'm not sure that I caught any EVPs on here or not, but there are some kind of sounds within this conversation as we were talking and really getting deep into this, and that, you know, what that we couldn't actually catch in our normal ear, like, and just from what we're hearing. But as I'm playing back the recording, I can hear some change in the sounds. But so this is where we started to get kind of deep, and of course I'm talking a lot, but whatever. But yeah, here's this, what I like, the segment I like to call Connection to the Land. Yeah, and I feel like, you know, that is one of the big reasons why I created this podcast. You know, like Chica Next versus Aliens intentionally adding the X at the end, intentionally adding the X at the beginning. The idea that the indigenous needs to be included and the idea that LGBTQ needs to be included, because as experiencers, we as indigenous people have a connection to the land. So there's like something that I feel like when I heard that y'all were doing the tours, I had heard about tours. I had heard about San Antonio tours. But when I heard that y'all were doing the tour, I was just like, of course, there's got to be something like a deeper connection, a deeper reason for all this. Mm-hmm. And you know, the funny thing is that you guys are, you know, the majority of the people that I experienced today were all white, right?
Yeah.
And you know, and the when I spoke to some of the people as we were walking around, you know, they were just kind of this whole like, oh, nonchalant, brushing off the idea that it might be scary. But, and that was kind of like, it seemed kind of like that was their goal. Mm-hmm. For me, one of the big things was what was my connection? What am I feeling?
Yeah.
What was my spiritual meter going off and that kind of thing? And it was cool that you guys offered people the meters. What was the other things that you guys offered folks?
Yeah, we had EMF detectors, we had temperature readers, and then we also had dowsing rods.
Yeah, and it was cool that you guys offered those things to folks because it kind of like allowed them to maybe possibly understand what it is to be spiritually connected.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like being authentically connected to the land, right?
Yeah.
And so like I really appreciate that about what the group that you have, the partnership that you guys have created as far as like these ghost tours.
Yeah.
Yo, wait, hold up. I want you guys to know that Los Nahualatos are celebrating 10 years and we are putting out a commemorative anthology. We're looking for you artists to submit visual arts, poetry, stories, or some kind of picture or flyers that you might have in the past. If you know it from some time ago, hit us up. We want you guys to be a part of this whole situation. You can find us at los.nahualatos@gmail.com. That's where we're accepting our submissions. Or just hit us up, man. You can find me, you can find Nicolas, you can find some of the homies, Arturo, Luis, Felipe, man, just holler at us. We're trying to gather up these submissions and put together a badass little book. Meanwhile, I want you guys to check out this song. It's called Santo Negro, dedicated to the Santeria dioses that are helping us in the oceans and the waters. This is from our second album called Jamás Inquieto Resisten Ya. Politically charged, good energy. Yo, man, pray for us. We're on our way. 10 years of Los Nahualatos. Check it out. So one of the big questions that I had with Fred and Steven was, you know, what is your purpose? What kind of work are you doing? And it's obvious that it's not just paranormal investigations, searching for ghosts, trying to catch that perfect video. And I've heard a lot of homies like from the Midnight Paranormal Society. If you're out to catch, you know, if you're out to have the most exhilarating experience, good luck, because you know ghost investigations are pretty boring, and you know for a lot of people it's just being patient. You know, it's kind of like fishing. You know, you might not catch something all day, and then next day you go back and you might catch something. So, you know, they're just being honest. You know, we don't know, and this is always such a big mystery. But you know, one of the most important things that from the conversation that I caught from Fred and Steven is that history is so important. We're not just talking about the Alamo, but we're talking about the indigenous people of that area. San Antonio celebrates 300 years this year of existence, but the indigenous people have celebrated up to 10,000 or even up to 12,000 years ago of occupying this land. So here's just a little conversation we had about that.
I think we're constantly combating people's ideas of San Antonio, combating like pro-colonialism. We're combating people who think that this is a horror movie and something is gonna grab them on the tour, you know? And we've had people call us and they're like, what's your scariest tour? And we're like, none of them. Like, that's not the point of this. We wanna expose people to something real, something authentic. And so it's not creating a scare factor, it's creating a pathway to understand spirit?
You know, pretty much all of the places that we choose to tour or investigate or bring people, we know these are active places. And these are places that we personally have experienced on our own investigation. So we try to be very strategic about showing people those spaces. And for instance, the Victoria Black Swan Inn, this is a place that we know that every time that we come with somebody, with a group, whether it's just us, something happens. You know, this is a place that there is a lot of activity. And sometimes it's a little bit more quiet, sometimes it's a little bit more subtle, but we know that there is something here, there are things here. And we just want to share that with people and share that, you know, just because it's paranormal doesn't mean that it's scary. Sometimes, you know, spirits just want to say hi, and what we're here for is to better understand that.
What I had experienced at the Victorian Black Swan was pretty chilling. You know, I myself have seen apparitions in different parts of my life. Each time, never actually like lowers the surprise factor. So when I was at the Victorian Black Swan, you know, my hairs were standing up. I had like mega chills. And so I couldn't help but like wonder if Stephen and Fred and had been, you know, had been scared, you know. Most of us get scared because this isn't a haunted house, in a sense that is like intentional. This is a historical haunted house. The spooky houses and scary Halloween houses, like 13th floors and that kind of stuff, they're intentionally made to scare you at certain points, and it's all timed. But when we think about it as far as history and historical traumas, we don't ever know when that stuff's going to pop up. And so us being a part of these places, coming to these places and then catching haunts when they're happening, as maybe possibly a moment of repeated time, or a ghost or an entity that has no idea that they're in the house, or communicating with spirits or people. So, of course, my question was, you know, what are some of the spookiest things that you've experienced? And of course, they've had some amazing stories to tell, so... This is the conversation that we had about that.
One story that sticks to mind that we tell all the time is our experience at the Presidio La Bahia in Goliad. And so this is an old mission. It's also the site where there was a mass execution of Texians at the hands of Santa Ana and some of the Mexican soldiers there. So the mission itself is now a museum, and they do have living quarters there where people can rent out a space and have the entire mission to themselves. And so naturally, a lot of paranormal investigators go out there. And we did one visit that was just me and Fred. It was just the both of us. It was a very romantic investigation that we wanted to experience for ourselves. And so we did an overnight there. It was really, really uncomfortable. We felt like we were being watched the whole time. There was strange noises going on. We hardly got any sleep. We kept being awoken by what we thought was strange noises, but we couldn't pinpoint what it was. So our first experience there, that's what it was like. The second time, we brought a larger group, investigation team with us. And everything that you could imagine would happen did happen that night. It started with, as we're approaching the city, approaching the grounds, I start experiencing some severe stomach pains, and it gets worse and worse and worse. By the time we get to the property, I'm really not able to do anything. I'm kind of curled up in bed. So I'm not able to participate in the investigation because I'm essentially immobile. The investigation itself, it goes on. They experience a whole slew of things. You want to tell them about that?
Yeah, I mean, we experienced everything from seeing a full body apparition that night, having that captured on a photograph, and then also just these really like strong like gust of air, like not wind, this is inside, you know, a building with no outside air coming in, but like strong, super strong gust of air, like that just was like were completely startling. We also had a lot of our team members like literally have emotional, like deep emotional responses where like they broke down, there was a lot of crying, there was a lot of emotion, like, and it was just a very, very bizarre investigation, because I think almost all of us cried like significantly that night, or was in severe pain or something, you know, but like, you know, yeah, it was just a very strange night.
Yeah, and then the next morning I'm still in pain. I'm like, I have to go to the hospital. The nearest hospital was like 30 some miles away. I was like, just take me back to San Antonio. we were intending to stay longer at the Presidio, but we ended up going back to San Antonio to take me to the hospital. I had to get my appendix removed, so I had appendicitis. Yeah. And you know, it could very well have been a coincidence, but that is one place that I will not personally go back to, because I just feel like it's too much.
Yeah, no, it's possible that there's a connection between like the edging of what is about to happen to your body and being pushed into that next energy. Like, yeah, there's no denying that that's like even possible.
Yeah, it was definitely intense. It was definitely intense. And then I had a restaurant, Viva Vejeria and Vejeria restaurant, Tex-Mex vegan restaurants in San Antonio,
which was a delicious and still is, but was a delicious restaurant that I loved to go to when y'all were running that.
Yeah, well, our Broadway location, just the original Vejeria, it had a lot of really strange things and a lot of activity, and I mean, everything from coming into the restaurant, being the last one to leave, being the first one to get there, and seeing all of our dishes arranged in strange fashions. We also had experiences where like knives were arranged like in weird patterns. We had experience where entire 5 gallons of you know, food had toppled over with no explanation. Strange things constantly at that location, and that was probably the most haunted place that I've been at for a long period of time continuously, and it never really stopped. It was always intense, and occasionally we would have guests that would be like, you know, this place is haunted, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm very aware. Yeah, it happened.
So, you know, we've gotten into the stories of what, you know, we've been through as far as, you know, paranormal investigations and, you know, the work that they're doing with history and that kind of thing. But I always feel like some of these things that we've been through or know and understand now were all introduced to us when we were younger. Maybe like a younger experience, things that we went through growing up and, you know, having our solo time, being with ourselves, you know, moments in the dark, or, you know, or even just seeing things that were not what we would consider to be of the natural realm, and what we consider to be supernatural, were, especially as indigenous people, supernatural was never kind of a thing that was, you would say, was existed. Like, we were all connected with our ancestors, and we spoke to spirits and we prayed to them all the time. So but you know, growing up in this day and age, these things seemed, you know, crazy for to us, and so some of these early experiences definitely have formed who we are you know now. So this is the conversation that we had just about growing up and our early experiences.
Started like my first kind of memories probably around 3, but about 3.5 I remember having a very vivid dream, and my great grandmother was still alive at this point, and I had a good relationship with her, and I was really close to her, and I knew she was really old, and I knew that she wasn't gonna live forever. And so really interestingly for me, I would I started dreaming about her, but it wasn't like a really vivid dream. It was like I would wake up, I was all alone in this house, like my grandparents' house that I lived in, and then I would go look for my grandparents. I couldn't find them anywhere. And I would then go to the closet, their closet, thinking maybe they're in there, you know? And I'd open the closet, and when I opened the closet, it's like this magical world. And the magical world was like very strange, like for a 3.5-year-old, like it was like an acid trip or something, because it was literally like dancing skeletons. But through that dream, I knew that my grandmother was in that world, or she was going into that world, my great grandmother. And I remember like having like very clear thoughts. She's gonna die. She's gonna die right after Christmas. And you know, she's gonna die by herself. And I told my grandparents and my mom, and I told everybody about this, and they thought like, damn, this kid is weird, you know? Like, but after that Christmas, 2 days later, she ended up dying exactly the way I had told everybody. And then I would get visitations from her, and that's where everything happened. So really some of my earliest memories are around spirit and are around death and dying, but not as a scary or a bad thing, but I mean, more perhaps something beautiful. Profound. Growing up and going to college and like, you know, like I moved out of Texas to go to college like right after high school. I think I tried to be as normal as possible, you know, but yet I really wasn't. So nothing really, I think most of it was more in like my formative early childhood where I was getting this. And then I had a period of time that like I pretended that I didn't see things and that I didn't have any contact with things. And that never really worked for me. Like was, I wasn't being authentic with myself, but you know, I thought maybe that would help me to feel normal.
Yeah. Same thing with me. There was a moment where some, you know, as I was telling you know before, me and my mother had rituals that we did as concheros that had to happen every month. And during some of those rituals, I used to deny the fact that I was seeing things. And one time, out of the sake of not feeling mega crazy, I asked my mom, is it just me or are you also seeing shadows walking through the house? And she says, I see them too, don't worry, don't be afraid. And that was something that I kind of felt like authenticized my existence in the spiritual world.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. That was beautiful, yeah. So me and my mother share, and it's wonderful because me and my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother all share a very magical spiritual existence. And
that's awesome. That's
wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, you know, Fred is very much in tune with his gifts, and, you know, it stems back from childhood. For me, I had a very kind of different experience growing up. I was the youngest of four boys. I was always kind of fearful of things. I was afraid of just, you know, disappointing my parents. I was my brothers would always pick on me, you know, they would tell me scary stories and try to scare me. And I remember growing up just very fearful, and I never really had any reasons to be afraid. But some of my favorite things was hearing some of these stories of folklore and hearing stories of hauntings that may or may not have happened, and kind of scaring myself. And then I started getting into, you know, scary stories, gothic fiction, you know, horror movies. I was just wanting to scare myself and get myself there because I felt like I was part of, you know, I was partly safe because it was controlled. And so that's kind of my introduction into the paranormal, is just being fascinated by scary stories and connecting with other people through that. And that's one of the favorite things about what we do now, is that everybody has a story and everybody has experienced something or knows somebody that has experienced something. So pretty much every tour that we do, somebody will tell us, you know, well, I experienced this one time. And it's always really, really great because it's something that I feel like more people should be comfortable with talking about. Yeah. And fear is such a universal thing, but it's something that you know, I think also can bring us together.
Beautiful thing to be in a space kind of like these, and I'm sure that you guys are in these pretty regular. What are some of the things that you guys feel like when you guys are in some of these spaces?
Yeah, so for me, I tend to hear things more than I feel things. on our investigations, you know, I'm kind of the one that tries to listen out for any movement or voices or anything like that. But again, I'm not as in tune with my gifts as Fred, whereas Fred, you know, experiences things on many, many different levels.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, you know, there are times that it's very, very much visual where I'll see things, I'll experience things very much. And I think, you know, a lot of, I'm very connected to, I think, a lot of the natural or nature spirits and, like, you know, just things that are part of our land. And I really appreciate that. But then also, like, I'm very open to, like, humans that are trapped in the spirit world and need some kind of help and recognize that. But then I think it's also there are times where I hear and I'll hear an entire conversation that I feel like, oh, I wasn't supposed to hear that, you know, yeah. But I'll also like, you know, I'll also definitely feel like my body is also a really good indicator of like, you know, warmth in certain areas or pressure in certain areas kind of telling me things. And so it's like, I think the experiences are always like really important because I think it looks at, like, I look at my body and all of my senses and all those kinds of things and like, wow, we really like the idea of being alive, the idea of being spirit, the idea of all are so profound that I can visit the same place and do a tour in the same place over and over and over again. But yet there's still something special there, something that I don't quite understand. And even though I can see, hear, and feel spirit often, there's still so much I don't get.
In this next segment, I asked Fred and Steven what it is to own a people of color LGBTQ business. And I prefaced the whole question with my way in and my understanding of LGBTQ stuff. And I'm sure that was pretty annoying. And so I decided not to even put that segment in here. I want to apologize, Fred and Steven, if that was annoying. But of course, their articulation and intelligent answers made this segment all that much better. I feel like straight, cis, hetero males, you know, speaking for myself, like try to find a way in. And I think that the best thing to do is just to listen. So next time I'm just going to ask the question and listen, but check this next segment out.
We run it like that. We run it at like one that no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, our indigenous roots, whether it's, you know, combating colonialism or whether it's like being queer, I think that's definitely part of what we do and what we share. And I think we've been waiting for the day in which we get some kind of shit. Can I say that?
Yeah,
we get some kind of like, you know, shit for what we do, but it hasn't happened in person. It's happened online where, you know, we'll get like a little bullied here or whatever. Like we do an LGBT tour every year where we do LGBT to crime of San Antonio.
Wow.
And it's a really fascinating tour, but this last year we got kind of bullied for doing that. But it really didn't stop us. You know, it didn't stop us from still exploring that and still learning that. I feel like our digital world has created weird parts for LGBTQ people, mm-hmm. because there are these like, you know, very anti-LGBT queer people and, you know, that are out there and they feel like they're much more powerful behind a screen than they are in person.
Mm, of course.
And so we see more of it from a digital perspective, but I mean, we have a tour that we do every Friday and Saturday, you know, 10 o'clock at night, that we do this one tour and we include a whole stop that's LGBT history. And nobody's ever been like, how dare you show that queer crap? You know, no, everybody's been super receptive to it. And I think that it's cool that we get to provide LGBTQ history in San Antonio because we're inclusive of everybody, and that, you know, we explore it all, and I think that's really cool, I think, to
yeah.
do, you know.
And we both know that, you know, representation and visibility is important for marginalized communities, and for yeah. people to see a queer business being successful, but also a gay-owned business that is in a field that you don't see a lot of queer people of color.
Yeah.
You look yes. at what's going on you know, the mainstream television shows right now, it is white right. men. It is the paranormal bros. Yeah. This is what we see all the time.
Exactly.
And yeah. so for us, you know, to be able to share with people exactly. every day that we're here, we're queer.
Yeah, but do it through history. Yeah. That's the cool part of
and,
it.
And we really try to approach everything that we do with a level of respect for that history and for yeah. different histories. And so I know that it's important for certain people, and we've had people who've come to us after a tour and who realize that we're married and we're running this tour company together, and they think that it's really important. I had somebody come to me after a tour and say, like, my son, I think, is gay, and you know, can you share a little bit about your experience? And that for me is just amazing, and I just feel so lucky that we have this forum to share a little bit of ourselves, but a little bit about these communities that have been marginalized and have been suppressed for so long.
Yeah.
Where can people find you guys?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then at CuriousTwins.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you guys want to add to something?
Yeah, if History Channel is listening to this and you want, like, queer paranormal historians, like, we're here.
We'll take Travel Channel, we'll yeah. take CBS, whatever you got.
Vice, we're yeah. yeah. Like, come yeah. on, y'all, pick them up. Pick up yeah. Curious Twins. Thank you, man. I appreciate this so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yo, 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 such an awesome conversation with the Curious Twins, Fred and Steven, badass, and I want to thank them once again for meeting up with me. Catch them at the Victorian Black Swan, catch them in San Antonio, Texas, catch them all over Texas, word, spooky places, haunted places, that's what's up. I was really happy to be able to have that done. Yo, y'all know I got merch, right? I got t-shirts, I got stickers, I got pins, I got koozies. Holler at your boy, man. You can find me at Joaquin Muerte on Instagram or Joaquin Muerte on Facebook. I think I got a Joaquin Muerte on Twitter. You can find all this stuff, all these episodes, hashtag ChicaNex versus aliens, hashtag podcast. I put those separate, and I usually I'll spell out ChicaNex versus aliens. I want to just send a big shout out to all my sponsors. First of all, Gabi Flores and Feliz Creatives for hooking up with the logo. I want to shout out to the law offices of Ricardo Briones for becoming a sponsor. You yourself can become a sponsor too. Holler at your boy, man. I got packets. We can do all kinds of stuff. And then I'll give you merch and you can be mentioned on the podcast and all kinds of stuff. Shout out to Tino on the beat, who is also another sponsor. I appreciate that, my little man. Word up, man. I'm so glad that you guys are still here. Thank you, everybody, for supporting 1,000 listeners. That's nice. For a little Chicano boy in San Antonio, Texas, Texaslan. That's what's up, y'all. Stay tuned for the next episode. It's coming out real quick. All right. See you on the next episode. Peace. 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 Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.